This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Last week, Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue made an appearance at the Association of Farm Broadcasting's virtual annual convention. And this year, as many years, there was a lot to discuss. Trade has been a hot topic of conversation over the past 4 years, especially as it pertains to the trade war with China. Perdue said America might not feel as successful as we may have been when it comes to dealing with China.
The factual numbers show economically that farm income minus government payments has increased 33% over the last 4 years. I think a lot of times while the President Trump supported that when we were having the calling out China and many people wanted to talk about the trade war actually going on there, we'd been in a war that we didn't realize we were in for 20 years.
Secretary Perdue says the U.S. approach to dealing with the unfair trade practices of China has yielded positive results.
Now we see the benefits of the trade policy. So sometimes there has to be some pain. Obviously, these transfer payments were there with MFPs 1 and 2, CFAP 1 and 2 with COVID to help support people where they could continue their livelihood and not get so much in debt that they couldn't get out. And the good news is now we're seeing those prices we had hoped to have seen 4 years ago. Actually, when you look at farm income, I was kind of surprised myself to see it literally bottomed in 16 and has risen each year since that period of time.
In addition to the Phase 1 trade deal with China, Perdue says there are other world trade wins to talk about, such as the USMCA.
We've modernized it from a technology perspective and solidified those number one and two customers there on the northern southern border for a long time. Bob Lighthizer, a trade ambassador, got an enforceable agreement. The Japan agreement was, again, there was concern about withdrawing from TPP. But why should the largest customer of these countries be treated the same as 11 other countries? We got a better deal that way. A Korean deal was settled as well as in the Indo-Pacific from Thailand and Vietnam and others have also increased. So I think we've laid the platform for increased trade.
Perdue also covered rural access to broadband being another vital issue that the USDA is currently working on.
It's vital. It's no longer a luxury. When we began, President Trump, the day after I was sworn in, signed the executive order on rural prosperity. And as we studied that for 180 days with an interagency, about 22 different federal agencies, connectivity was one of the main things that we came up with that could really help rural America, including farms and farmsteads. It's no longer acceptable for 20% of the nation here to be cut out of connectivity of electronic commerce. That's just not acceptable.
He also went over how broadband access is critical for rural America in multiple ways.
These reconnect programs that the president has directed us and Congress funded to get these connectivity out here with broadband literally to the farmsteads, precision agriculture. E-commerce. Farmers are great entrepreneurs. They can market themselves all over the world if they have connections. Certainly COVID has shown us with distance learning. What are the country kids going to do when school's not in? How are they going to learn if they can't be connected?
Again, that was U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, who spoke with former WSMI Ag Director and current NAFB President Rita Frazier at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting virtual annual convention last week. If you'd like to listen to that interview and see the full video of the interview, you can catch that on our new Facebook page, WSMI Agriculture. Moving on into other national ag news for you Tuesday as it relates to who could be the new ag secretary under a Joe Biden administration. Progressives in ag are appearing to make the push to keep former North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp out of the USDA Secretary's office in a Joe Biden administration. Newsbreak.com says the conflict is ramping up as Representative Marsha Fudge of Ohio has begun to campaign for that job. USDA is a $150 billion department that oversees ag policy, supports the farm economy, and feeds millions of low-income households. Heitkamp has been seen as the top contender for the spot because of her moderate politics and friendly relationship with the agricultural sector. However, a coalition is working behind the scenes to eliminate her candidacy before it gets going. They argue that she's too conservative and far too cozy with the fossil fuel industry and corporate agribusiness. quote, there will be a big fight on Haida camp if Biden puts her name forward, according to Carrie Hammerschlag, deputy director of the Food and Agriculture Program at Friends of the Earth. Most of the nonprofits against Haida camp are far out and on the left flank of even the most progressive food and ag circles. However, divisions about Haida camp appear to run deep. The National Farmers Union, a non-member of this coalition, is facing its own questions about whether to get behind the former North Dakota senator. In other National Ag news here on a Tuesday morning, with Thanksgiving just 2 days away already in this crazy and wacky 2020, the National Farm Bureau is surveying and tracking the cost of a traditional Thanksgiving dinner as items dropped roughly 4% from 2019. AFBF Chief Economist John Newton says the cost of an average Thanksgiving dinner continues to be less than $50.
This year, our volunteer shoppers across the country found that the average price for a Thanksgiving dinner for a family of 10 came in at $46.90, down about 4% from what we saw last year and the lowest level we've seen since 2010. On the turkey side, the most important component of the meal, a 16-pound bird came in at $19.39. That's down nearly 7% from last year, with an average price of $1.21 per pound.
Newton says the survey reflects changes in commodity prices this year.
On the dairy side, we saw whipping cream come in at $1.74 for a half pint. That's down 16%, and I think that reflects what we've seen happen in the dairy industry this year, with butter prices and cream prices having fallen pretty significantly from last year. A lot of butter moved through the restaurant channel, and with COVID-19, we've seen that demand diminished and those prices move lower.
Newton also says the results of the survey shows a traditional Thanksgiving dinner remains affordable for consumers.
I think what we see is Thanksgiving continues to be affordable, less than $5 per person. So I think consumers have the luxury of continuing to get that 16-pound bird or even a larger bird and still add some additional fixings on the side, maybe a ham, mashed potatoes, or green beans to make that dinner more special.
And you can find the full report online at fb.org. And moving on now from Thanksgiving to the commodity markets, they appear to be bouncing back after the lows seen earlier this year caused by COVID-19. Dale Dirkholz is a commodity analyst and principal of Grain Cycles up in Bloomington. To get a sense of where the market might be heading, Dirkholz looked into trends on Continuous Commodity Index and said the recent rise in commodity prices may not be long-term.
We're going to see some kind of a broad shift in terms of commodity prices in general that probably is going to stay with us over the next 2-3 years, something like that. There's a bigger low out there, a couple of 3 years out, so maybe 2026 that is going to be out here a 9-year low. And also for this index, looks like it's going to be a 27-year low. I think the strength we're going to see out of commodity prices here over the next 2 to maybe 4 years probably is going to be that, something short term.
The strength of the U.S. dollar will continue to be a strong influence on the commodity market as well.
The dollar has got a 3-year cycle to it as well, with lows coming about every 3 years. This one here in 2017 might actually occur in early 2018, but here we were in 2020 again, timed in perfectly to put a low. So we might see a little bit of strength. It's going to be interesting post-election to see how this turns out. But ultimately, I think the decline we had in the dollar here off the peaks we had back here in 2016, again, going up there early in 2020 and breaking down, is kind of setting the stage. We're getting ready to go into a generally weaker dollar. And that, again, fits well with commodity prices being strong too.
Breaking things down specifically, he takes a look at the months ahead in the corn market.
The low we put in April was a 5.5-year low. I can't impress that enough on people. That really completed what looked like a long-term cyclic low. The low we had in August was a 2-year low. And again, with that 2-year low coming in place, really set the stage for strength. Didn't anticipate this much this soon. But also with this in here, you look at shorter-term cycles. We had a 40-week low in April. We had a 20-week low here in the end of September. And we got another low out in here somewhere due in probably February, maybe early March at the latest. So I'm kind of wondering maybe if we're not getting to some kind of an exhaustion phase, at least for now, with the market waiting on some fresh news.
The soybean market may need some fresh news as well to help continue its push to the upside, nearing $12 just yesterday.
The low we had in April here was a three-year low. We came back with a two-year low in August. We had a 32-week low come in place with August, and so we have another one out in here in April, it looks like, with the next 32-week low. And with everything that happened here, with the early talk about problems in Brazil and to a lesser degree in Argentina, you again, when you look at beans and with all the export sales we've already put on the books, you know, you really kind of go, is there really a lot left in this market to give us a big push to the upside other than some minor strength? And we had a big high in soybeans back in 2016 at $12. So I think we're going to have some difficulty if we try to move on higher to get over that $12 level here.
And finally, the wheat market is also looking for spark to push prices higher.
Wheat, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of things in the mix here at this point in terms of cyclic influences. 9 and 6 year lows have been behind us. We don't have a good short-term wheat seasonal, and basically with wheat, we rely on seasonals. With the action we've had in wheat prices here over the last 3 to 4 weeks now, you kind of wonder if we haven't already seen some kind of a winter peak. So it's a matter of looking for some new influences to come into this game, maybe to give us some more strength to the upside at this point.
Again, that was Dale Dirkles, principal with Grain Cycles out of Bloomington. And moving along into State of Illinois Ag News here for your Tuesday, we have the latest state crop progress and condition report that was released yesterday, Monday, from the USDA NAS department in Springfield. There was 5.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending on Sunday, the 22nd. Statewide, the average temperature was at 45 degrees, 3.5 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 3/4 of an inch, right at normal for this time of year. Moisture supply in the topsoil was rated 11% very short, 17 short, 70 adequate, and 2% surplus. Water supply in the subsoil, 11% very short, 25 short, 63 adequate, and 1% surplus. Soybeans and corn were 100% harvested as of last Sunday's report, so the only crop to talk about is the winter wheat crop, which is 96% emerged as of this past Sunday. That's compared to the five-year average of 91%. And the condition of the winter wheat crop across Illinois as of Sunday was 4% very poor, 3% poor, 23% fair, 51% good, and sitting at 19% excellent. And in local ag news on a Tuesday, this holiday season is bound to be different due to COVID-19, but U of I Extension is helping families manage the ups and downs. In a three-part series starting a week from today, Extension educators will offer practical tips to help you and your family enjoy this special time of year without all of the fuss. The free online webinars begin at 6:30 next Tuesday and run the following two Tuesdays after that on the 8th and 15th. To register for these webinars, you can go to go.illinois.edu/holidays. If you need reasonable accommodations to participate in the program, such as a lack of internet connection, you can contact the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Early requests are strongly encouraged to allow sufficient time for meeting your internet access needs. The webinar lineup includes, coming up next Tuesday the 1st from 6:30 till 7, Jolly Good Cooking for the Holidays, Substitutes, Swaps, and Season's Greetings. You can unwrap some fun, festive holiday cooking ideas and learn about quick substitutes, swaps, and the secrets of downsizing your favorite family recipe. The next Tuesday, the 8th, from 6:30 to 7, is Balancing Extra Calories Throughout the Holidays. Is the elf on the shelf hiding the extra calories in your holiday food? You can learn some tips to enjoy your favorites along with a dash of physical activity and keep your tinsel toes moving into the new year. And finally, the last webinar on the 15th from 6:30 to 7 is Making a List and Checking It Twice. If you're feeling overwhelmed with the holiday season, take back control and stay on track as you rein in some of the chaos by making a simple list and simplifying your life. Simple steps you can take in this webinar will be able to decrease your stress and enjoy the holiday season as it's meant to be. Again, all three of these webinars are being put on by the University of Illinois Extension. And if you need more information about the three webinars starting next Tuesday the 1st, just contact the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941. And that wraps up your Ag News on a Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, November 24th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.